Good morning, church. I feel like I've been to church this morning. Wow, thank you for the songs, Kelton. Excellent selection and direction. Really appreciate that. It's obvious that Tim put a great deal of thought and effort into his meditation over the supper. Thank you very much for that. Very appropriate. And Brother Seth, you could have prayed for an hour and I'd have felt like I was sitting at the feet of Jesus the whole time. Thank you for leading our hearts in prayer this morning. We are so blessed to be a people who are the beloved children of our Heavenly Father. There's so much joy and excitement when you think about all of the blessings that we have. The book of Psalms is one of those books that provides us with so many different emotional attachments. In the book of Psalms, we see anger, we see joy, we see disappointment, we see the confession of sin. We see so many things that are there. And this morning, we're going to take some time to go into Psalm 34. And we're going to talk about our prayers for just a few moments. Would you pray with me as we begin? Holy Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the love that you've had for us, that you continue to share with us, that demonstrated itself in sending Jesus to die on that cross. Thank you for that amazing sacrifice. Thank you for his willingness to be obedient to you and loving toward us, to shed his blood, to reconcile us to you. Thank you for this avenue of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to petition you, and that your ears are attentive to us. And thank you for this precious time in our service where we can open up your word and hear from you. Bless us, Father, as we study today. May we be encouraged by your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. May God bless the reading of his word. What a powerful psalm. You look at David. David has been rescued by God after he has cried out to him. And he just can't help but just pour forth this praise for God and encouragement to others to come and join with him. Praise the Lord with me. Look what God has done. In these verses, we, as God's children, have been assured that he is very carefully in tune with our lives. And we who are the righteous, we his children, are the ones he listens to. He hears everyone, but he listens to us. You understand the difference? And he's eager. He's at the ready. How many of you called someone this week and got a voicemail? So you guys didn't use your phones. Happens a lot, doesn't it? When you don't recognize a number, what do? You let it go to voicemail and you go listen to the voicemail if it's important. And then you call them back. Kind of way we screen, and otherwise you're going to end up with another car warranty you didn't want. All kidding aside, there are no voicemails in heaven. There's no answering machine in heaven. There's no email in heaven. There's no text messaging in heaven. You've got a direct line as a child of God to the ear of Almighty God. That's such an encouragement. And it helps us so much because we know that he is listening to us. Verse 15 reads, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." I want us to flesh out this psalm for just a few minutes this morning and encourage you, perhaps in something that you have not given as much attention to as you ought, that is praying to God. To encourage you, if you have been giving the amount of time to prayer that you ought, encourage you that God is listening to you. He hears your cry. His ears are open. And he's paying attention. We have an unfortunate idea with regards to prayer that if it doesn't come to pass the way we prayed for it, that God didn't answer that prayer. And that is a false theology. Many of us have children. Some of you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Mommy, can I go play on I-75? Now, some of our kids, we might say yes. But a good parent would say what? No, absolutely not. No matter how many times they ask you. Why? Because you love them and you know what the result of that would be. Does God, as a loving parent, our Heavenly Father, have the right to say no to our request? Even more so than we have a right to tell our children they can't play on the interstate. There are many other ways that God answers our prayers besides yes. And just because you do not receive the yes does not mean he is not listening and he is not tuned in to your prayer. So who are the righteous? Because his eyes are on the righteous. When we look at verse 8, he makes mention that those who trust him, Do you trust God? I hope you do. God's never done anything to cause me to doubt his trust. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know what leaning on your own understanding is? Not trusting in God. We need to trust him. We need to trust that he is the almighty, all-powerful, all-seeing God who sees what we are going through, and trust that for whatever reason, he hasn't changed our circumstances, though we cry out to him. Maybe he's got something better for us in the future. Maybe there's a lesson he wants us to learn. Maybe there's something else that we don't even know about. Did you ever pray for something in the past and it didn't come out and you were just diligent in your prayers and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and years later you look back and you realize what a disaster that would have been if it would have been answered? I have. Saints who fear him, we see in verse 9. These different descriptions are all talking about the righteous. Saints are those who are holy ones, the ones who have been set aside for service to God. That's us. We're saints. He longs for us as his holy ones. And as his holy ones, we fear him, not trembling in our boots fear, though that is warranted at times, but we have this awesome respect. I stand in awe of you. That very simply could be, I stand in fear of you, in the way that it is used in this context. An awesome respect, understanding who God is. Those who trust him, saints who fear him, those, in verse 10, who seek the Lord. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? One of you saying, I'm looking for this piece of gum so my kid will be quiet in church. I don't know. Well, but that's not what I'm talking about. What are you spiritually looking for? Ultimately, my prayer for me and my prayer for you is that we are seeking that place in eternity at the feet of Jesus where we can live forever and ever. But there are things we have to seek along the way to get there. Verse 18 says, the righteous are those who have broken and contrite hearts. You know, sometimes we break our own hearts. Sometimes others break our hearts. But when God causes us to see things that break our hearts spiritually, where we see the way that we are hurting God, that's the type of broken heart that we have to have. When you read Psalm 51, as David has been approached by the prophet Nathan regarding his sin with Bathsheba, and you see that psalm of repentance, and he just cries out to God. And he says, you know, I would offer all these sacrifices, but you don't want those. The true sacrifices, he says, are a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Verse 22, his servants, are you serving God? Are you making yourself available to God? When you look at this list here in the psalm itself, it defines for us who the righteous are. And if you want to know, then you look at those things and you say, okay, am I doing these things? Now what the scripture doesn't tell us is it doesn't tell us that you got to do every one of these things perfectly without fault. Because let me give you a secret. Are you listening? Lean in real close. You can't do it perfectly. None of us can. We can't be perfect, but we can be faithful. And that's the idea that is put forward here. Those who are faithful to him. Well, does the New Testament give us any indication with regard to those who are righteous? Let's turn over to 1 John. And let's spend just a couple of minutes there before we return to Psalm 54. There are several designations that are made in this letter that John writes toward the end of the first century. And the first description, because he's writing to Christians here, and he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sin. Now, he uses the accommodative we because he's talking about himself as well as his readers, which here, 1900 years later, here we are. And he says, if we walk in the light, those that walk in the light are the righteous. Down in chapter 2 and verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He describes the righteous here as those who know him. Going a little bit further, we see in verse 3 we just read about keeping his commandments. And then you drop down to verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought to walk also as he walked. We're walking in the light. We know him. We obey him. We abide, we remain steadfast in him. When you look over, well, slide got ahead of me, sorry about that. You go over to chapter 3 and verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Backing up to chapter 2, verse 29, in connection with that, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Walking in the light, knowing him, keeping his commandments, abiding in him, practicing righteousness. All of these are describing the same people. They're different ways of describing the same group of people. Just as in Psalm 34, those different descriptors describe the same people. You see, here we are at the end of the first century, over 1,000 years after David writes his psalm, and John's telling them basically the same thing using the same words, that this is who the righteous are. The Holy Spirit preserving for another 2,000 years almost, is teaching us the same thing. God's consistent. The righteous during the time of David were the righteous during the time of the Apostle John are the righteous in 2021. It's a matter of following what God has laid out for us. And to those of us who are the righteous, as we read earlier, his ears are open. He is actively listening. My grandmother, on my mom's side, was hard of hearing. Some of you may be able to appreciate that, either from having somebody in your family or you yourself have difficulty hearing. Her sister, my Aunt Sue, great aunt, died at 87, and my grandmother was a few years younger than her. So my mother and my aunt gave Aunt Sue's hearing aids to my grandmother. And that was back when it was a one-size-fit-all, it was just a volume deal, right? So one day, My mom is sitting in the adjacent room to the kitchen saying, "Mother, mother," and louder and louder, and finally just screams it out. And my grandmother turns around, and so she'd forgotten what she was going to ask her, and she says, "Where's your hearing aid?" And my grandmother looked at her and said, "By the time you've gotten to be my age, you've heard enough." God hasn't heard enough. He's listening. He's always listening. And he hasn't put the hearing aid in the drawer and shut the drawer. He hasn't turned his back. He is actively listening to you. In verses 4 through 6, we see that there is a great deliverance that is sought by David. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Now, he was under attack by Abimelech. I don't know who your Abimelech is that you're being attacked by, or the circumstances that you may want to equate to that. But, you know, there's a lot of things that cause problems for us. Are you dealing with spiritual issues? The Lord's ears are open. But look at what David says. "I sought the Lord. I looked to him. This poor man cried out to him." It's not that God doesn't know your circumstances, but he's wanting you to acknowledge your circumstances to him. That's an important part of this relationship between God and his children. And maybe you're dealing with some spiritual troubles today. What about emotional issues? We have those. Sometimes we just break down because the pressures of life are just too great. What about relational? Are you struggling in a relationship? Maybe it's with a brother or sister. Maybe it's with a spouse, a child, a parent. Or maybe it's just a friend. I don't know. What about with material things? We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have the money to get those things. And we have all these circumstances that just kind of steamroll us sometimes. And God's ears are open. He's actively listening. Are you talking to him? Are you seeking him? Are you crying out to him? But look how he opens the psalm. As a result of having sought him, crying out to him, God hearing him, he just jumps to praise in the opening. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Listen to me, everybody. Come magnify the Lord with me. "And let us exalt his name together." Look at that praise that he is shouting out. When God answers your cry, how do you respond? You know, we often talk about things that are just mundane and inconsequential, and we can't wait to pick up the phone and tell somebody sometimes those things. But how often does God answer our prayer and we shout out to everyone, "Come praise the Lord with me"? Because that's the attitude of the heart that we should have. That's how we should respond to answered prayer. When God gives a great deliverance to us, whatever that deliverance may be, continual praise needs to be a part of that in our lives. Boasting not in ourselves, but in the Lord. God did this. Calling on others. You know, In case anybody didn't know, Marilyn's going to be a grandmother again. Does everybody know that? That's not a secret? Okay. Her daughter's visiting with her today. Her daughter's a little bigger probably than the last time you saw her because she's with child. And I'll bet when that good news finishes its culmination and there is a new baby in that household, that there probably won't be anybody that doesn't know that Marilyn's got a new child, grandchild. You know? Why? Because that's good news. Now, what's better news? Well, I am hastening the coming of the Lord with the songs. Tell people when there's good news. I remember when we had our first child, it was my dad's first grandchild, and he was teaching at Faulkner University at the time after he'd retired from the Marine Corps. And you know those newborn pictures that look like an alien from outer space? You know, they're red, and they got dots on them, and they got this, like this look on their face. And people, and the grandparents are going around, isn't he the cutest thing? No. He looks like a baby platypus or something. I don't know what that is, you know? But why is my dad showing that picture to everybody at Faulkner? Because he's proud. He's happy. It's a blessing that has come. When a greater blessing, that is the answer or deliverance from God, why are we not telling others? It's great news. It's great news. And he invites others in verses 8 through 10 to put God to the test themselves. God did this for me. You ought to try it. Put God to the test. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Put him to the test. And see how great God is. He says taste. That's one of those senses. You know, all right, I like filet, all right? And if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, I don't mean to insult you by doing this, okay? But I like a filet, and I like it medium. And I liked it where when they bring it out to the table, it's still kind of sizzling on top, you know? And you can look at it. Oh, wow, it looks good. You can smell it. All the aroma just makes your mouth water. You can hear it sizzling on the plate. You can even take a fork and a knife and just feel how tender it is. Just feel the knife just go through it without even cutting it. But you know, you don't know that steak's any good until you do what? You got to taste it. It's that one sense. It's that one sense that you got to know. And you can't know until you taste it. Sometimes God's that way. You've got to taste and see. You can verify for yourself how awesome God is. Trust him. Call out to him. Give him the difficulties. Seek the Lord. Let him know what's going on. His ears are open to the cry of his saints. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite heart. God has blessed us so much and he's opened up this incredible door of blessings to us. The psalmist from 3,000 years ago cries out to us today and says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've got a lot of blessings we're going to be thankful for this week. It might just be your family. It might be surviving something this last year, a difficult time. It might be that God relieved the suffering of a loved one and took them into eternity. I don't know what it is that you're thankful for, but you can find something to be thankful for and let God know. If you're struggling, if you've got a problem of some kind, let God know that too. Cry out to Him. This morning, we've got a song prepared to encourage you. We've got brothers who are going to be down front to welcome you, to pray with you, to pray for you, to encourage you today. But we can't pray for what we don't know. I'm inviting you to taste and see that the Lord is good. And maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not among the righteous. Maybe you don't know that you know Him and you're not walking in the light. You're not practicing righteousness. God still wants you to come. Believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Turning from your past life, the sins He died for. Repenting of those things. Confessing the beautiful and precious name of Jesus Christ. And putting Him on in baptism, being buried in water for the remission of your sins, and raised up to walk in a new life, a saved life, a life where you are now walking in the light and His ears are open to your cry. Can we help you today? Let us know what it is as together we stand and sing.